I'm Quinn Kleinfelter, and this is Curiosity, where listeners ask questions about everything Detroit and beyond. In this episode, Jennifer Kolzicki of Sterling Heights wonders if an automotive rumor is reality.
So I've heard for many years that Metro Detroit doesn't have a robust transit system because the big three undermined the streetcar and bus systems in order to sell more vehicles. I've always been curious about that, and I've tried to find information to back that up, but I've never really been able to find any concrete evidence of it.
Well, to start, we ride the rails of time back to the Detroit of the 1920s and 30s, when streetcar tracks split the middle of Woodward Avenue. Customers who once strolled past horse-drawn carriages to get on board the Department of Street Railways System, or DSR, now had to dodge vehicles going 30 miles an hour or more.
At the peak periods of the day, as many as 1,000 streetcars are operating in all parts of the city, carrying Detroit's industrial army. That's something to be proud of, stockholders. You citizens do own the DSR. Every time a bus or a trolley car rolls down the street, there's a stockholders' meeting in motion.
Detroit had a publicly owned streetcar system. The city bought it out in 1922 to operate it itself more efficiently.
Iowa State University professor Robert Pfaff did his dissertation on the history of Detroit's streetcars, trolleys traveling from Ann Arbor to Toledo that Pfaff says some automakers at that time viewed as a necessity.
Ford actually bailed out part of the initial streetcar system in 1921 because they recognized that this was the way that most of their workers actually got to work.
But over the next few decades, a company called National City Lines and its subsidiaries, backed by General Motors and Firestone, among others, took control of dozens of transit systems. By 1949, a jury had convicted GM, Firestone, and the rest of conspiring to monopolize the sale of buses, fuel, and other products to National City Lines. The companies were acquitted of trying to form an entire transportation monopoly. Yet the idea of automakers sabotaging streetcars gained traction in the public imagination, even serving as a plot for numerous books and movies. In the 1988 animated film Who Framed Roger Rabbit, the villainous Judge Doom buys up the red car rail line to make way for a new 8-lane freeway.
Wonderful billboards reaching as far as the eye can see. My God, it'll be beautiful.
Come on. Nobody's going to drive this lousy freeway when they can take the red car for a nickel.
Oh, they'll drive. They'll have to. You see, I bought the red car so I could dismantle it.
But historian Robert Pfaff hits the brakes on that theory in regards to Detroit because the city itself owned the streetcar fleet.
And that automatically prevented other private investors from trying to come in and disrupt that space. And because of that, we are the ones to blame for dismantling that system. We don't have some private company that came in and swept in with some grand scheme. We have to look inwardly at ourselves.
In the mid-20th century, the American dream was paved with highways crossing the country, and officials decided the easiest way to reach Detroit's expanding suburban population was not by laying more rail tracks, but by targeting it with bus service. About three-quarters of a century later, a portion of that transit system unfolds along Gratiot Avenue near 12 Mile in Macomb County. Detroiter Charles Green says he grew up riding buses with his father, and newer ones, like the Suburban Smart System's Fast Gratiot Line into the city, are a definite upgrade. Mostly.
I like the bus because, like, you know, it's eco-friendly and it's convenient, but the frequency of the bus just ain't right. I work at a bar. Man, every bar over there is closing after midnight. So at that point, I got to pay $20 for an Uber just to get home.
Detroit's DDOT bus system wants to significantly increase its number of drivers and cut wait times for residents, roughly one quarter to one third of whom don't own a vehicle. At another bus shelter on Gratiot, Detroiter Shina Harps says in the car capital of the world, not driving herself can quickly become a badge of shame.
And I do get that a lot. Oh, you take the bus, you do this, you do that. That's my life. I mean, I'm living in my truth.
Detroit Transit also carried a stigma inside the federal government. A Detroit nonprofit group vowed to change that perception with, ironically, a new streetcar system. ROC Vice President Jared Fleischer was a D.C.-based attorney who helped set what became the Q line in motion.
Washington, having watched going back to the Carter administration, Metro Detroit never really be able to get its act together around transit, and therefore, you know, not taking us very seriously or not sending money our way, it was meant to show Washington that we are serious, we are working together around transit in a different way.
In 2012, before the Q line even broke ground, officials formed an actual regional transit authority for Southeast Michigan. But Fleischer says a millage to fund interconnected public transit ran into a roadblock, a high turnout among rural voters supporting then-candidate Donald Trump, an electorate where he says many saw little value in paying extra taxes for a bus system they felt they would hardly use.
It went to the ballot in 2016, and it lost by 0.5%. And 9 years later, we still have not solved the issue of regional rapid transit.
There is, however, a 3 1/3 mile stretch of railway on Woodward Avenue that reveals what could be, especially for younger travelers.
The streetcar will not stop at that request. Please press blue button to request a stop.
Wayne State student Sarah Jalul stands on board a Q-Line streetcar. She says using the Q-Line for even a few miles helps her save both gas money and the environment.
I think the less cars we have in this street is probably a lot less pollution, so that's really important to me. So as much public transportation there is, that should be best.
Catering to that smog-free desire is a key selling point for many younger workers, says the head of the metro area's regional transit authority, Ben Stupka. And he says no one wants to grow the transit system more than Detroit's automakers.
The big three and those that support them in that ecosystem have a laser-focused understanding that transit is part of the brew, if you will, that keeps talent and attracts talent to this region, and that is what they need to survive and thrive.
Whether that eventually leads to Metro Detroit public transportation that legitimately competes with other regions across the country, though, remains a question for down the road. For Curiosity, I'm Quinn Kleinfelter.